Usually on Sunday night of the old-fashioned Sunday in the past years, I have tried to present a witness that might be different. I still believe that there are a lot of people that don't know really what it is to be a Christian. And we have a habit of using sayings and cliches that really mean nothing to unsaved people. We keep on using them and we think they understand us, and I think they nod their head, yeah, I understand, just to get rid of us. But they really don't have a clear concept of what it really means to be a Christian. And so on these Sunday nights, or the old-fashioned Sundays each year, I try to give a different angle to the salvation gospel message. Tonight I hope that we'll have one more that you can add to your list that maybe you can use someday. I believe I'll explain a way that you've never heard it before, and yet it might clear some things up, and that's what I hope tonight to do. During the first of the year, we used to go to the hospital. 98% were not members of this church. Many were not members of any local church. Very few went to church. Probably all of them thought themselves to be Christians, and I cannot judge and cannot say whether they are or whether they are not. We walked into one room, and we usually knock on the door, and we walk in, and you don't know who's in there, and we don't know them, they don't know us. And I had a man with me, Mr. Otis, who always went with me, and we walked in, and this man looked up. There was his daughter in there, I believe, maybe two daughters, and I believe it was his brother. Very thin man looked up at me, and he said, "Who in the blankety blank are you?" I said, "Well, I'm the preacher." Well, he just sort of gasped, you know, and everybody looked at him and looked at me and kind of giggled. You meet all kind of folks that claim to be Christians, I guess. It sort of catches you unaware. You don't expect these kind of answers. I've never been called blankety blank before. But anyway, the man had cancer, heart problems. We just introduced ourselves and told him we were concerned about him. We have a little book that we give out, a hospital ministry book. But as we kept going back, week after week, we kept running across this man. He would go home and he would come back, and he would go home and he would come back. And we noticed that each time he came back, he looked a little worse. He sort of mellowed a little bit. He wasn't quite as rude, I guess, or I don't know how to put it. He wasn't as unpleasant towards us as that first visit. He sort of just looked at the floor, looked at the bed. But after a while, he began just to listen to us a little bit. I guess we were the only ones that showed any interest in him besides his immediate daughters. I don't think he had a wife. Never was real receptive, but Roll and I, on the way over to the other hospital one day, we said, "You know, if we don't tell this man about Jesus, doubtfully if anybody ever else will." Now, I don't know about you, but I have a difficult time in the approach. Here is a man that I would say knows very little, if nothing, about Christ. Very little, if anything, about the gospel and how a man really becomes a Christian. I think probably he believes he is a Christian. How do you approach a man like this? What do you say to him when you think, well, he doesn't want to be talked to, he's not receptive? Do you go ahead and take the chance of being thrown out of the hospital, like this has happened once to me? But anyway, do you say anything at all, or do you just let it go? Well, it bothers me to let it go. So Roland and I say, "Well, we'll go back." We'd already left the hospital. "We'll go back." The time we got through with the other hospital, it was too late to go back. We said, "Well, we'll go back tomorrow. He'll be there. He won't get any better. He'll be there." We went back the next day, and he wasn't there. We haven't seen him since. But I thought about, when we were going to go back, what am I going to say to him? What's the approach? And here was the approach that I was going to use tonight. Now, I wouldn't have the time to elaborate there at the hospital bed as I would tonight, but here was the approach that I felt the Lord gave me. It's a different approach altogether. I would have asked him the question, "Sir, have you been adopted?" I know that would take him for a start. For I imagine even you tonight would probably say, "What do you mean, have I been adopted? I never have been up for adoption. I never will be up for adoption. I'm not adopted." And you know, adoption is a concept that you hardly ever hear talked about in relationship to Christians. You know, we call Christians believers, we call them saints, we call them disciples, but how often have you ever said, "I'm adopted"? We call ourselves sons of God, but do you call yourself an adopted son of God? And usually when you use the word adoption, you think of children. Doesn't necessarily have to be so. I guess an 80-year-old man could adopt a 70-year-old woman if he wanted to, a girl. I mean, I don't think age enters into it, but normally we think about children when we think about adoption. Well, doesn't God have children?
Yeah.
Well, how does God get children? Does he just make them out of the thin air? Where does God get children?
Well, the only way I know of that God can get children, if he doesn't make them out of thin air, then he's going to have to adopt them.
What other option does God have? Either make them or adopt them. And every child that God has, he has gotten already that has been a child.
Now, Paul says in Galatians, you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You are the children of God.
But now when Paul said this to the Galatians, there was a time when the Galatians were not the children of God. And the Bible clearly points out that all men and women alike are children of wrath, are children of disobedience, are children of the devil, are children of darkness. Now none of these terms would ever define a child of God. And so we clearly have stated in the Bible that there are all kinds of children. Some, we would say, are children that are not God's, and some that are children of the world. Now, when God goes shopping for children, and I think that's what God is always shopping for, the only kind he ever finds available are children of what? The world, children of wrath, children of disobedience, children of the devil, and children of darkness. That's all he can find, unless he just makes some out of thin air. That's all that's out there. For all have sinned. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. No person qualifies automatically to be a child of God. So when God goes shopping for children, every child he finds is one that does not qualify to be a child of God. And obviously they're not his children when he goes looking for them. And you sure don't adopt your own children. I don't see how you could ever adopt your own child. Now, if God is going to have children, then I know of no other way for him to get them than to adopt them. Now, I'm back to my question, sir. Have you been adopted? I mean adopted by God. What I'm really asking is, are you a child of God? But if I ask that, he'll probably say, yeah. Thinking that everyone created by God is automatically a child of God, so I'll lose him right there. So I won't say that. I'll just say, have you been adopted? And I believe also this idea clears up some false notions that most people have regarding how one becomes a child of God or how one becomes a Christian. It's the most difficult concept I know to overcome. Sometimes I feel like it's impossible. But let me illustrate through adoption. Say I go to an adoptive agency. I've never done this, but say I did. And I would imagine most children there long for a mama and a daddy. Now, I'm just assuming this. Let us say I walk in, and as the children see me, they realize I am a prospective daddy. I look them over. They're all prospective children, every one of them. All of them are up for adoption. So as I walk around the yard and walk through the building, a little girl walks up to me. She says, I am your child, and you are my daddy, and I'm ready to go home with you. Well, I don't know about you, but that just ought to take me for a startle. I'd be puzzled by that little girl's reasoning, and I'd say, I'm not your father. I've never seen you, little girl. I don't know you. I don't even know your name. You're not my child, and I'm not your daddy. What makes you say I am your father? The little girl gives me this answer. Because I'm a good girl. Well, and I do my daily chores around here. And I'm kind to the other children. And I obey all the orders that the adults here give to me. I have to say, little girl, that's commendable and that's real good. And I think that's what you ought to do. But really now, doing those things doesn't make you my little girl. And it sure doesn't make me your father. But I do admire you for doing these things and being a good little girl. But really now, that doesn't make me your daddy. Does it now really make me your father? A little bit later on, a little boy comes up to me. He may have been talking to a little girl. I don't know. And he says, I am your child. I've already heard this. And you are my daddy. And I'm ready to go home whenever you are. And to him, I say, well, little boy, I'm not your daddy. I've never seen you. You're not my child. What makes you say that you're my child? He says, oh, I've heard about you. I really believe in you. You're a good man. I've even read some of the book that you've written.
Not only that, but you know that I have a picture of you hanging over my bed? I say, well, that's real thoughtful, child. I didn't know that you knew about me. Didn't know you believed in me, but that doesn't make me your daddy. And that doesn't make you my child. Before that little boy or girl could ever be my child and me their daddy, I would have to adopt them. I would have to adopt them. And yet, time and again, I still am confronted by this same thing. And people say, oh, I believe in God. But that doesn't make God your father. That doesn't make you related to God. Believing in God and being a good person doesn't turn you into a child. You can tell people that, but somehow they get lost and they don't understand what you're saying. But that doesn't make you a child of God to be good. And to give the shirt off your back to a poor person, that doesn't make you the child of God. As giving your shirt off of your back wouldn't make you my child tonight. It would be a good thing to do. I could recommend this. I could commend you for this. I could even praise you for this. But it wouldn't make you my child. And yet folks are basing their entire destiny on the idea, well, I'm going to go to heaven and live with my father because I'm a good person. I've done good things. I believe in God. Even have a picture of Jesus hanging at my house. Don't you understand? That doesn't turn you into a child. That doesn't make you a child of the Father. Like, a better question would still be, have you been adopted? Have you been adopted? In Ephesians, the first chapter, Paul says, God has predestinated us unto the adoption of children to himself. This is a scriptural concept. According to the good pleasure of his will, God the Father is going out looking for children he can adopt. Adopt, all right? In Galatians, the fourth chapter, Paul again says, God sent forth his Son to redeem the lost. There's the children of wrath, of disobedience, of the devil, the lost. Why? Why does God send his Son to redeem the lost? That they might receive the adoption of sons. Did you realize that salvation is all tied up in adoption? I've never thought much about it till tonight. But then I find that the adoption that God has in mind is unlike any we can imagine. Say I went and adopted that little boy and that little girl. I could take them to my home. I could even give them my name. I could even give them my inheritance. I could even call them to everyone I met, these are my children. But you know, in a literal sense, they never would be my children. And they would always be able to say, we're adopted. They wouldn't be my literal children. They wouldn't be my blood children. I could call them that, but they literally would never be my children. But when God goes shopping for children, he's going to give them something that no other adoptive parent could ever give them. See, what's that? A miracle. Are you an adopted miracle child? Have you ever heard somebody ask that in a witness? Only God the Father can give the adopted child a miracle. We all like miracles. God is not just going to be satisfied to call us his children, but he plans to make us his children. I can't do that. I can call a little boy and a little girl my children, but I can't make them my children. It's too late. They've already had a mom and a daddy. I can't make them my children. And yet John 1:12 says, to as many as receive Christ and believe on his name, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God. Not just called sons of God, but to become sons of God. Now there's a miracle. There's a miracle. So how can this be? Now we come to an old worn out phrase today. It requires a new birth. It requires a new birth. And in that new birth, that's how the adopted child becomes the actual child of the living God. For that God instills within that person's spirit a new heart, a new life, and makes of him a new child, a new person, a new man. And when you have a new person, then you can call that person your immediate, direct, literal child. For God does create a new child out of the adopted child. God transforms the child he adopts and gives that child his own divine nature. And then he says, this is not just one I call my child, this is my child. He is my handiwork. I took him as the handiwork of sin and I made him the handiwork of God. Have you been adopted and then transformed into the living child of God? The child who is adopted gets a new creation. Only God can do that. But God requires that of every child that he adopts. There is a condition that God has when he goes shopping for children. Oh, he'll take any child that'll meet the condition. You know, a lot of children are turned down because they don't have the right color eyes or the right color hair or the right color skin. God never turns down an adoptive child on those grounds. But there is a condition. Let us say tonight that God came to me and said, Billy, I want to adopt you. And he told me all about the miracle. He was going to change me on the inside and make me a literally child of God. I say, hey, I think I'd like that. I'd like to live in your home and have you as my father, to have you love me, provide for me, and to give me your inheritance. I think that's great. And the Father, before I adopt you, I want you to meet somebody that's dear to my heart. Oh, who is that? He takes me from the adoptive agency, and we go together, and we go to see a person, and I find out that person's name is Jesus Christ. I want you to meet this person, he says, for this is my beloved son. I say, well, why do you want me to meet him? What's the point? It's you and heaven and inheritance. It's you, Father, that I'm concerned about. It's you that's going to adopt me. The son's not going to adopt me. You ever thought about that? The son doesn't adopt you. No, he says, that's right. But it's the son here who made possible the change that I'm talking about, the miracle. And without that, you couldn't be my child. And he made that possible by dying up on the cross and taking your sins and the punishment that you would do as a child of wrath and disobedience. He took your sin for you and died for you that you might not have to die and that you could become my child. And it's through him that you can be forgiven of all your sins and you can have a new birth. He made all that possible. And before I'll adopt you, I'm going to ask that you will make Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord. Your Savior and your Lord. Because, young man and young woman, after I adopt you, I'm going to betroth you to this Jesus. My son is giving me you as a child, and I am giving my son you as a bride. I want you to meet him. I want you to know him. I want you to live with him. I want you to become compatible with him. As my child, you will marry my son. As the adoptive child, you not only come into my inheritance, you come in to my son's inheritance. Isn't that wonderful? My son? But you're going to have to agree to make my son your Savior. Repent of your sins. Ask for forgiveness. And then I'm going to ask that you consent to make him the Lord of your life. Now, if you'll do that, then I'll adopt you. And I'll make you my child, but I'll give you to Christ. And Jesus talks about those that belong to the Father have been given to the Son. John the 17th chapter. Have you been adopted? Well, you haven't been adopted unless you've been willing to make Jesus Christ both Savior and the Lord. I don't know tonight if you're a Christian or not. I've tried in a different way to explain what a Christian is. And I hope that it's been made clear what God is looking for. He's looking for a child to give as a gift to his Son. The Son is anxious to take you and save you, to give you as a child, as a gift to his Father. And the Spirit of God, and I'll close with this, then comes in sort of like the mother and says, you know, for God the Father, I'm going to make you the kind of son that's dear to his heart. I'm going to make you just like Jesus. And to the Jesus, the Spirit says, and to you, by making him just like you, I make him the perfect bride. For you can't get more compatible than perfect identity and perfect duplication. And so the Spirit is making us without spot or wrinkle or blemish. The Holy Spirit's working with the child to make him the joy of the Father's heart and the joy of the bridegroom. Father, we're thankful tonight for the terms that are used in the Bible to give us a clear concept of what it is you want and then what it is that we are obligated to do. And also clearly states that we have a choice, that we don't have to be adopted by God. We can remain children of disobedience and of the devil and of darkness. We can choose to remain unadopted by God. We can choose not to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of our life. We can make that choice. But in so doing, we also must realize that we can never call ourselves God's children. We can never call ourselves rightfully owners of His home. We have no right to ever go there. Nor can we ever say that our sins are forgiven. Nor can we say that we're a child of God. We have that choice. Father, last night, we also know that this is not your choice. Jesus came and you, through the Holy Spirit, call unto all the people who are lost this night, asking, would you like to be adopted? Would you like to be a part of the family of God? Would you like to be my child and me be your father? You say, yes, I'd like to be that, and I'm not. The one thing you have to do, just make Jesus Christ your Savior and make Jesus Christ your Lord. You give your life to Him. Father, may this be the desire tonight of someone. If they be not saved, may their eyes be opened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.